taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
A choice right now, between fear and love. Sister Ron.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound. Very.
Expanding reality.
I'm so excited to be here.
Good. Let's fucking do this, dude. Are you ready?
Go.
Let's go. Adriana Niagu, welcome to Expanding Reality. It is so cool to have you. I have been prepping my friends. My wife is super excited about this. We have been attracting, I suppose, an amazing new element to the show that we have not had on yet, and I'm very excited to introduce you. But before we do that, I just want to remind the audience that all the ways to find you, your Be In Your Worth YouTube and Instagram are going to be linked down below. You're a coach and a course creator. There's so many cool things to enjoy with you in all of your social media here that you've got going on. So many cool offerings. And again, guys, going to be linked down below. Make sure that you guys also check out the afterthought for this incredibly cool conversation where we do have a special guest joining us for that. Very exciting. It all ties together. I'm great at this. You guys are going to love it. Adriana, in your own words, if you don't mind, just let us know what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to let you break the news to everybody if they haven't read the title and introduce yourself for the audience, if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Hey, everyone. This is Adriana. I'm so honored to be here. Brandon and I connected a couple months ago and we tried to meet, you know, then, and it didn't quite work out. So I've been like waiting like a kid before Christmas for this. I've been so excited. we're going to be talking about astrocartography today. And if you don't know what this weird sounding long word is, that's okay. Just keep listening because I'm sure Brandon will be asking some deep questions. So we're going to get into it.
They can expect it. You guys know this. So again, guys, check the show description for all the ways to find her and more. Stick around for that afterthought. It's going to be banger. I already know it. I feel it. Astrocartography. Okay, so we are huge into astrology. My wife is on her second level course with Ksenia Moore on her astrology. We have gotten massive into this. And in this process, a few years ago, I heard about astrocartography. And it was long before I started the show. And as we make our way through these ideals, I came across, man, I've just got to get this done. And so a quick search revealed an amazingly aligned person here, and here you are. This has been something that's been on my mind. The more I look into it, the more fascinating it is. And come to discover, I've been living like 10 minutes away from my Pluto line my entire life. And I would like for you to interpret that for me and the audience a little bit more. And then just let us know what the hell this thing is and what it entails and why it empowers you.
Oh my God, it's so empowering. It affects everything. Like, I'm really into astrology as well. I mean, astrocartography is a branch off of it and human design. But astrocartography is the astrology of place. So wherever you are in the world, the energy that you have based on your astrocartography map is impacting everything. Okay. So that's why, the other tools are really important too, but knowing your map is just super important because you'll know what energy is at play and how it's affecting you accordingly. So yeah, astrocartography is the astrology of place. And it's different from your birth chart. Like, it's not like a circle and you have all these planets scattered around and you'd learn about the angles they're making to each other and what houses they're in and what sign they're in. It's different because astrocartography it's actually a map of the world. And then when you pull up your map, you see all of these crazy lines like on it, you know, and it looks super overwhelming at first. But it's a pattern and it's pretty simple to understand once you learn the basics. So for example, like Brandon, you're living on your Pluto line, which we've talked a little bit about this before, but it's so badass because Pluto, and actually it does help to know a little bit about astrology before doing astrocartography, because you're essentially going to be interpreting what lines, what planetary energies you have going through your town or your city, or at least within 600 miles of where you live, because those energies will affect you. So Pluto is the planet of transformation, and it rules Scorpio. So anytime you live on a Pluto line, and actually, Brandon, I was born on my Pluto line. Were you born where you live?
Yeah, I was born and raised and have not left, only for short stints to go off for a little bit, come back. And I've been coming back to my Pluto line, death and rebirth, hard lessons. Check.
For sure. So I left mine when I was two. Well, my family did. We immigrated, actually. And so I've never lived on my Pluto line again. But the thing with astrocartography is wherever you're born, whatever planetary lines you have going through there, it actually stays with you. It like leaves a print on you. So I have this kind of Plutonian energy in me, which you have too, Brandon. Yeah. So it's like Pluto is the planet of complete, like you said, death and rebirth and complete transformation. It's actually like the god of the underworld, right? Hades, like stuff like that. It's just super hidden energy. And so it also rules Scorpio. And so understanding a planet, it'll help you understand what sign it rules, because then you can learn a little bit about the characteristics of the planet, learning the sign. So Scorpio is all about like death and rebirth, you know, hidden things. And it also is ruled by the eighth house. And the eighth house is all about the occults, secrets, sex, money, hidden information. And so Pluto rules that shit. And so when you live on a Pluto line, like you best believe that that type of stuff is going to come up for you. And not only that, it's just super fucking transformational. So it's powerful. And this podcast, this whole like community you've created, living on your Pluto line has helped, I think, like birth this. And I see you kind of smiling, and I'm sure you know what I mean. You know, reflecting on your journey with this, but yeah, Pluto, basically when you live on a Pluto line, you're going to go through a lot of death and rebirth situations. Like traumas will be revealed, like shit is going to come to the surface from the deepest parts of ourselves. And it'll be revealed for you, you know, exposed to the light for you to deal with. And it's probably the hardest line to live on. But some people are kind of built for it, and some are not. Like I've had clients that I've worked with where we've looked at their maps, and some people are like, I love my Pluto line. Like I love living here. And others are like, I felt like I was dying every day. Like I felt like life was just a struggle, and it was like this death and rebirth, and it was just constant like shit coming up. Whereas, you know, you can live on like a sun line, which rules Leo. So when you think about Leo energy versus Scorpio, it's very different. Leo is all about, I mean, and you're a Leo rising, right?
Yeah. Nailed it.
So am I. So, you know, Leo is all about like the sun and being seen. It's like Leo risings, it almost feels like there was like a light shining on him or something. So yeah, it's very different energy, and we can get into the other lines, but yeah, Pluto's intense, but it's powerful, you know?
So interesting. Everything you said, of course, because yes, it's felt a lot of days, some days like hell, and it absolutely sucks. And then some, it's absolutely awesome. And I love Texas. Like I like the part of my Pluto line I'm plopped on. I really do, because there's a lot of pride in being a Texan. And even going through the national process, I love saying that I'm a Texan. You know, it just makes more sense to me. It feels right. And so it's the best country in the world. Now, being on that Pluto line, it does feel like, yes, I've been granted the opportunity for some really challenging ways to navigate, I guess, things to be brought up and moved through, and especially this last couple of years with my Pluto square on my Pluto line. So did me having my Pluto square, which was a bunch of other things astrologically as well, but let's just focus on that bit. Did that happening where I was located have an amplified effect? And follow-up question, of course, then would be, had I been somewhere else during that time on a different line and been mindful of that, would it have changed at all?
It would have, yeah, because whatever line you're on, you know, it colors your life, right? It's your day to day, it's your existence, it affects everything. So, yeah, having a Pluto square is attention, like aspect in your in astrology. So squares create change and tension. So yeah, you've probably had a lot of things maybe come up, like, I don't know, a pipe bursting or who knows, like just stuff like that. Problems, kind of challenges.
Bursting is what's, it was one of four things that sent me over the edge into my dark night. It was four things that happened immediately, and a pipe bursting was one of them.
Seriously? So yes. The reason I said that is because pipes are hidden in a home, you know, it's like the underworkings of a home, and that's Pluto. It's like the underworkings of our psyches and ourselves. Yeah.
And now I need to correspond the other four things to the other planetary things that were occurring, probably because there was a Saturn something or another and Neptune was fucking with me somehow. No, Saturn and Uranus were fucking with me somehow. Also, while Pluto was, it's like a astrological gangbang is what I referred to it as. And it was not, I was not in for it. And on my Pluto line. So all of that happens. Now I'm interested to see if the other things were reminiscent of the attributes maybe of those signs.
I'm sure they were.
Wow. That is fascinating, but it's so interesting. I mean, again, this is why this is so fascinating to me. I love this.
This is cool.
Okay, so how to, what then, let's, so that people don't have to take the ride that I've taken, and I think that that's why I sort of take the ride that I do, is to inspire others to possibly choose for themselves a different path, and that they don't need to, but that you can also make it through. I guess this is one of the qualities. Let's say that somebody is coming up on their Pluto square and they know that because they can reach out to you and find that information out. Link down below, guys. And in that process, they have the opportunity to travel and be somewhere else. Can you tell them where to go and for how long?
Well, it's really interesting because every transit has a time frame, you know? So whether you're going through a Pluto square, and it depends like exactly what Pluto is squaring. Like, was it squaring your sun or your Pluto?
Yeah, it was my dark night, my fucking, what do they call that? Midlife crisis, all that.
Oh yeah, right.
Crisis, I think, is a soft word for it, honestly.
Yeah. So it does, being in a certain place, like being away from your Pluto line, yeah, it would have probably eased some things for sure. You probably were in Texas during this time too. If, for example, like going back to the sun line, like it just, you would feel it differently. It wouldn't be as tough as being on a Pluto line because Pluto again can bring up a lot of hidden depths, but let's take it a layer further because it does go deeper. So for example, in a reading, I would look at how your Pluto and your natal birth chart is aspected. So like, for example, if Pluto is like sextile, which is a positive aspect in astrology, your sun, then your relationship with Pluto is easier than someone who has like Pluto square their sun in their natal chart. You know, does that make sense?
Yes,
so like,
yes.
You're going through your natal chart has aspects between the planets. Like whenever you were born, you took your first breath, wherever the planets were, they were all aspecting each other, right? And that created your birth chart. But as you progress through life and grow older and whatever, the planets are constantly moving, right? They're constantly shifting. So different aspects are being made. And so that's your transit chart. So those, wherever the planets are today, they can be aspecting your natal planetary placements. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And this is where closing cycles and stuff that happened 20 years ago with Saturn and all that, you'll close a cycle out. Recently, we experienced this with the eclipses as well as the Aquarius moving out of Capricorn thing. So yeah, it's very interesting that, again, these things do take a duration and they take a toll, yeah. But location has a lot to do with the impact. Yeah, I will say, go ahead, yeah. Please.
Oh, no, please go.
I was just going to add on to the fact that had I not have been here, the shit that came up wouldn't have been enough for me to actually harness and deal with and release. So actually I'm grateful I was here to feel it so intently so that I could really dredge it out. And I feel that even if I could have been off of it, like this hit me unacknowledged, but of course, looking back or looking at what I know now, it needed to blindside me so that I would fall completely into it and really go through the depths of it. Cause that's what I chose,
Pluto,
I guess. That's the
Pluto
way. I mean,
you were born on your Pluto line. So for you, it's like, of course you want that. Whereas other people would be like,
yeah, like, this sick fuck. I'm just like staring in the face like, all right, let's go. I always talk about the bison, right? The American bison runs into the storm, not away from it like every other animal in the area because they know they just charge into it. They're more confident. It lasts a lot shorter amount of time. They don't have to be scared. They just face it, get a little, say, man, that feels great. Get a little rain. Nice. And then move through it. This is sort of the approach I'd take. So, I mean, I wouldn't say to run from it also. I'd say where you are, even with all of this advanced knowledge. Now, because then think of it that way. Had I have done that, maybe I would have limited myself and my ability to release, really just fucking get it all over with at once and then move through it rather than carry a few and make it a little easier. Does that make sense?
Well, you're basically, you want to expand your reality, right?
Come on. God, when they hit it, it's so, you're getting a Howard Dean yell. Thank you. Great job.
Yes.
Yeah, we're having fun with the soundboard these days. It gets worse from there, though. So please continue.
So you're like part DJing during a podcast interview. I love this.
Constantly. This is a, yeah, I feel like a drummer. You're moving a lot of things at once here. Yeah.
Awesome. I did want to say, too, so back to just kind of trying to explain this whole astrology business. There's also transit. Sorry, my cat. This is Sage, everyone.
Oh, we don't apologize for animals around here. They're family. Okay, and yeah. My dog will hop up in my lap during the middle of this thing. You'll see a cat's butthole at least 3 times in this episode. So don't worry about it.
So yeah, what I was going to say was there's also, transits are affecting us individually, like to our birth chart, but they're also affecting us collectively. We all went through the full moon 2 days ago in Aries. That was like super emotional for me personally. So yeah, it's just interesting. There's like a microcosm level where it's affecting ourselves, like our egos, our soul. But then also collectively, we're all going through these, like the moon, you know, shifting into other signs and always shape shifting, and just different transits. So it's really interesting. But yeah, your location is going to color your experience. So I think you made a really good example with your recent transit that you went through and how you experienced it in Texas on your Pluto line. Whereas if you were, let's say, in freaking Paris on your sun line, I don't know what you have in Paris, but let's just hypothetically say you would be feeling differently than if you were living on the Pluto energy, you know?
True.
Yeah.
And that summer it was insane. It was 2 years ago is when it really dove in, and that's where it was a cascade of things pop and I was in it. And during that time, it was like the hottest summer, one of the hottest summers we've had one of the hottest places to have a summer. Here, and we lost all of our tall trees. We probably lost dozens and dozens of really, really tall pines from drought. Like, we just had this horrible heat thing, drought, sun's probably fake or something. But anyway, we had all of this stuff happen during that time. And so, same thing, I'm just like, and it was just hell. I mean, really, it was so interesting. But I'm on the other side of it. I know this confidently. I feel great. And I'm grateful I went through the purge, honestly. And I'm glad I did it on my Pluto line. I don't need the merit badge. It's just, I feel like I know that I would have wanted to get it all fucking over with. You know, like a Band-Aid. Just rip it all off. I don't want to do a little bit because my nervous system needs that and then carry it later. No, let's fucking lighten up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some people aren't like that. And some people maybe wouldn't be able to handle it as gracefully as you can. And that's okay. We all have different charts. You know, we're all born on different lines and we all are currently living on different lines and experiencing different things. And it's okay to be, you know, experiencing it the way you are, because you're designed to be exactly who you are and need whatever you need. And that's beautiful.
Nailed it. We're going to talk about human design. I want to clear the record, though. There was nothing graceful about it. And there's no ego and pride in me needing to sit here and say that, I took it like a man, like a champ. No, I was suicidal for months. Bad, like big time. It was really bad. We've actually talked a lot about men's mental health and things like that on the show because of it. So again, it opens new doors and I appreciate it. And every day I'm grateful I didn't, you know, and there's moments I'll just look at my wife. I'm grateful I didn't kill myself. But it was that bad. And so I don't recommend anyone also think that it's a badge of honor to go in it that way, because again, I never want to experience it. Made me never want to come back to the realm ever again, just if that's part of it, right? So I would say be mindful, you know, and it like doing drugs, right? Always never take more than you can handle. Always know your dealer, you know what I mean? So yeah, good advice all around, though. But yes, made it through and we're happier and stronger because of it. So if you can avoid your Pluto line, then maybe do it. If you're in for the haul, go for it. Again, know thyself, right?
Right.
So, go ahead, please.
Don't fear it. You know, like a lot of my clients, like, we'll do a reading or something and they're like, where should I not go? And I'm like, I just don't like that fear mongering, you know, astrocartography talk, like, oh, don't go to the Pluto line or don't go to this line. Like, you, I don't know. But it's interesting, though, because Jim Lewis, who started this, he created this whole system, which is pretty fascinating, back in the 80s. He actually won a huge astrologer's award for it and was really recognized and respected. I believe he was a Leo. But so, you know, he naturally kind of got all this praise, whereas other astrologers are like, you know, maybe they obviously have a different chart and they're like more in the shadows. They're like, oh, he gets all the credit. But
let me pause you real quick because I never even thought of that. People who are content creators that are looking to get out and get messages out need to understand that maybe it's not for you to be in this light, that you're actually going to be more of a shadow type figure. And so therefore you can avoid a lot of heartache by feeling like, why aren't I going viral or anything like that, by just understanding how you are.
But you can move or tap into an energy like a sun line again that will expose and bring more light and eyes on you. And that's how astrology is fascinating, because you can manifest with it. But let's get there a little later.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go back to my point where Jim Lewis was saying, you know, your Mars line, it can create like violence and accidents. You can be more accident prone on a Mars line. And it's just crazy how it happened, but he ended up dying on his Mars line. I think he got like killed by a car or like hit by a car or something. You know, so I don't know, the fear mongering stuff. I mean, maybe there's some truth to it, but I just believe that wherever you feel called to go, that is your soul, right? I can't tell you like, no, don't go there. I would never do that as an astrocartographer. You know, like avoid this. I don't know. Looking at transits, maybe, yeah, you could be like, okay, there, you know, just be careful on this line. You have this coming up, but I just like to try to keep it positive and not just to be, you know, unhealthily positive, but just trust where you feel guided to go. I think there's always a reason for that.
Man, you described it perfectly. Also the nuance that's involved in this, because there's a lot of ways you could approach the way that you deliver the message, but how you deliver it is almost as important as what's there to offer.
Yeah, it's a fine line. Like I just had a session earlier and it was a younger girl in her mid-20s, and she wanted to know where to go study and you know, really be more vibrant, but do her master's. And it, you know, she's like, well, between these three places, where should I go? And I'm like, I always include human design in my readings and of course astrology, like the birth chart, but she's a generator, you know, she was a sacral generator, which, not to get too much into that, but it just means, what does your gut tell you, you know, and what lights you up? And I could feel what was lighting her up more, but like, and I asked her, you know, you kind of have to ask generators yes or no questions and see what their gut says, if they're a sacral authority. But yeah, so anyway, you know, it's hard because you don't want to be like the guide who tells everyone what to do. Like I just don't feel like that is a healthy way to be an astrologer, you know? And, I don't know, people know deep down, but yeah, I'm here to guide and help them understand their maps and their charts. And then, you know, they have free will. They'll make their decisions accordingly. And also hopefully according to what they really feel, you know, like their intuition. That is the most important thing. I mean, with human design, your authority, how you make decisions will help you with your intuition. So yeah, it's all related. That's why I do my life path readings, and it's great fun. So yeah, we kind of got into human design there, but
no, it's so perfect. This is what we do. This is why it's perfect. I mean, I have a few things down to talk here, but it sounds like you're intuitively guided to bring up the other elements and data points in your reading. So let's talk about human design, because I'm interested in it. I'm a manifesting generator, I believe, and I'm a 5'7", and that's what I know.
Well, you are, maybe you're a 5'6" or something, or like, I know, 5'1" or something. I don't know. I'm not 5'6". That doesn't exist. There's no 7 in the profile lines, but that's okay. You
is
definitely
it three,
have a
5'5", maybe?
Yeah.
Does that make more sense? Okay, let's do 3-5.
Whatever numbers feel right. You're like, I'm a 12,502.
Right. Yeah, that one. There you go.
But yeah, no, so there's like four different types in human design. There's a projector, a manifester, a generator, and a reflector. The manifesting generator is technically under the generator category. Some people say four types, some people say five. Originally, Ra Uruhu, the creator of human design, I believe he said there's four. There's four. So yeah, and what, something crazy like 76 to 80, something, a huge number, like let's say around 76% of humanity are generators or manifesting generators, which makes sense because you guys, if you think about the chakra system, you have a sacral chakra, and human design uses basically, it's a system where it uses astrology, the I Ching, the chakra system, and the Kabbalah system all in one. And it creates this body graph, it's called. And so generators or manifesting generators will have their sacral center filled in. It's called defined. We call it defined. Whereas me, I'm a projector. I'm not here to project on everyone. That's not what that means. We all have different roles in society. So projectors are here to guide. Generators, actually, primarily. And generators are here to do and accomplish and complete, right? So, and our energy is very different because I don't have a sacral center defined. And the sacral center is important because it's essentially like the life force energy. It's like a battery that's connected to life force energy. So, so I don't have this like energy that I create, like to do and accomplish, like, but when I'm near a generator or connecting with one, my sacral center becomes defined because theirs is. So I get this like energy and I feel like I can do a million things, but really I'm not designed to, you know, I'm designed to work a few hours a day and guide, you know, and lead and guide and lead. Generators are here to do. Ra Uruhu will call them like, this is kind of controversial, but he'd call them like the slaves of society. Cause you guys have so much energy to just like create and work. So a manifesting generator though is different from a generator because a generator is like, they are here to do pretty much like one thing. They're like the workhorses. Manifesting generators are multi-passionate. So you want to kind of put your energy towards a lot of things that light you up. You want to keep that sacral center happy by like, you'll feel it in your gut when something is like a yes, right? Like, you know,
you
know?
You on the show. There were like seven astrocartographers I looked at. You were right here. I was like this right here. I went by gut. That's how this whole thing operates. I see a glow. It's weird, but it's like a gut glow. Yeah, nailed it.
Beautiful. What color is the glow?
It's different per person. So it's more like a white or a blue usually. But it's interesting also because I'll see it like a profile on their profile picture on your thing. Like you put a filter on or something and it's sort of like you'll just light up. And it's almost like your profile, like if in a list, your profile will lift up off the page and have like a shadow around it, even though it doesn't. It's really interesting, but it makes complete sense. And you've chosen usually something in your profile picture or the way your name is spelled or your first couple of posts, they'll resonate with me on a synchronicity level that I can't explain to other people. You'll have a certain number of followers, like my birthday 9/18 or something like that. I'll see like something that'll just ping or a 4230, like my shit, you know what I mean? And it's like all there. And it's like,
did
oh, okay.
4230 something? Because that's my birthday is 423.
Okay. 42 is my sort of like number that I see just everywhere. It's really interesting. I just turned 42, which is really interesting. And also all my planets were below the horizon. So at 42 is when, you know, last half of life-ish or whatever. That's when shit's supposed to get like awesome or whatever. Just got Pluto square. So anyway, 42 has been a big thing. But then 33 has been a big one for me. I don't
that's
get
my
the birth. Whole.
That's how old I am.
See? Okay, there you go.
And woo, and 423 is my birthday.
See? There you go. See how weird and amazing this is?
Yeah. What's your and birth date?
9/18, September 18th of 82 also. So I'll find a bunch of 82s or 982, whatever. 9/18 is huge though. I see it all the time.
That's a cool number.
Yeah, it's balance, it's completion, it's divinity, all those kind of things. Because it's then the doubling of, right? You're divine and then doubling at 9/18. It's really cool. I'm pumped about it. But yeah, it's like that. That's how it happens. And that's how, I mean, all the folks on the show, because there are a lot of people out there that do things, you know, that fall under maybe this even heading. But no one is you that does them the way you do. And that's what my intuition leads me to are these superpower people that check more than a box of just a title. It's like such a long list for my intuition to go that one. And you just nail all the boxes. And there's a lot of sort of, I guess, back conversation we don't even need to have because we just start talking and it's like click, 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 click. And I'm like, got it. And that continues to make me trust that, by the way.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. And I feel what you're saying because it's the same with me. It is like a sort of resonance and a frequency and a vibration that just matches with your own. And it's interesting to think about that, right? Like in a tribe family way too. Like, because, you know, I just kind of can tell, right? Like what people are for me and what aren't pretty quickly, actually. That's another thing with human design or projectors. We don't have that sacral center defined, but what so every type, right? There's four types. Every type has an aura. It's basically the way your energy operates. So, like a projector aura, we have a penetrating aura. So like we literally see right into not your sacral center, but your, it's called the G center. And that is essentially like your soul and your direction in life and your life direction. So I see into everybody, every projector, what they do, their aura penetrates into the other types, whoever they're around, their G center. So we can really see people like very clearly. And so, but some people like are uncomfortable with our auras because like it can be too intense, like, you know, so, and our eye contact can be like very penetrating. So like sometimes like I kind of look away because I see into people and like it can be uncomfortable, you know, as a projector, because you're like, shit, like I feel like I just see into them so much and they don't even see themselves right now, you know, and it's like, or you don't have the invitation to fully look into someone, you know? So it's like, you want to keep it balanced and stuff. Cause you can go like too deep too soon with some people and like, they're, you know, it gets a little weird. I don't know.
Well, I will say you have permission. So go for it. If you feel intuitively guided, glance in there and you see something that sticks out at you, feel free. Don't be shy about it. Thanks. What led you to all this? How did you get, you know, kicked off the astral cartography, the human design, the astrology? How did this start?
Well, it's so funny because earlier before we started recording, I think you said you started this about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's when I started my online, you know, business and sharing myself. So, I mean, I was going through a dark night of the soul, as I think many of us were, you know, it was before COVID COVID, whatever word that is.
You can say it. It's okay.
Okay. Before, you know, that whole time. And I was in a, you know, doing a corporate job and I was in sales, somehow stumbled into that.
Same, by the way. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. I did beer sales. I had sales all my life. That's how I met my wife, is as a store manager of a Journeys shoe store, which is Journeys, by the way, that kicked off our journey together, which is cute as shit. But yeah, same thing. Corporate sales guy, actually making more than my boss. And they said my next step was to sit in a corner office and go get a degree. And I said, eat shit, I think. And then I just went and did my own thing. Yeah. Sales. Yeah.
Well, I was doing life insurance. So that
was
a trick.
Beer. So we were in the same business, really.
Well, it's funny. I used to, before that, I was working at a brewery and I was like bottling beer and shit. And like, I was going to get into their sales team there, but I was like, oh, I want something a little more corporate. I don't know why.
What brewery?
Schlafly. It was in St. Louis.
Okay.
St. Louis, Missouri. It's a cool little place. So I had just gone back from living in Taiwan. I was teaching English there. And so I was back in America and I was like, oh my God, I just want to get a, you know, real job and go up the corporate ladder. So somehow I fell into life insurance and then I became a life coach. So life insurance, life coach.
Makes so but, much yeah. sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I just, after a year and a half, you know, I was working like over 80 hours a week. I had no life. I didn't have time to grocery shop or like, let alone, you know, just relax and take a hot bath after work. No, I would go to sleep, wake up and do it all over again. And my boss was up my ass every day. And I had to train and go sell. And we do workshops after being in the office from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We do workshops from 9 to midnight. And like, it was just like crazy. So I couldn't do it. Like as a projector, I'm not designed to be able to fucking keep up and work that much. Like I was just burnt out. And so I stepped out of leader, you know, my promotion and leadership position or whatever, and negotiated my contract, but I never worked after that. I became a ghost agent, which is essentially you work from home, which I didn't want to work. I was just over it. And when I'm done with something, like I'm not going to do it. Just like in college, I took this econ class and I swear to you, my teacher reminded me of Hitler. He was horrible. He would just like read the PowerPoint and I would sit in there and I'd be like, fuck this class. I hate this shit. I'm just going to go smoke weed with my friends and leave. So I would never go to class. My friend and I just got high before the final. We're like, fuck this. Cause I couldn't do it. Like my soul was like, no. So I started my online business after that. I just, you know, I think so many of us had this like dark night of the soul and like spiritual awakening. And we just had to share, you know, our truth, our passion, our knowledge. I've always been into astrology. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I was just like, yeah, sure. I'd start reading horoscopes at the pool and stuff and like, you know, from the magazine or whatever, but I don't know. I was just called to it from a young age and pretty self-taught. And then I learned about astrocartography. I mean, quite a bit before 4 years ago. I don't know, like 8 years before. And I had looked at my map and I was like, this is cool. And I don't know, it just kind of clicked for me. And so I wanted to teach it. I saw that there wasn't much information on it at the time. Like now it's getting a little more well-known, but like still it's like there, a TikTok wasn't that big then. And I don't think there were like tons of viral TikToks on it. And I don't know. I was just like, dude, I want to teach this. Like I need to put this out there because, and also let me say this. My son in astrology, my son is in the ninth house of foreign lands, travel, philosophy, spirituality, stuff like that. So I've moved around my whole life, like across the world. And so travel and astrology to me was astrocartography. Cause it's essentially like traveling and seeing what lines you have around the world. It just clicked for me. I was like, this resonates for me. It's cause it's who I am as a person. I've lived around the world in many different countries. I speak multiple languages. I love astrology. And so astrocartography was just like a fit. So I started teaching it. And then, and then I added on human design and astrology, to my business, you know, plan or whatever. And, so I've been doing it ever since and created a course and it's been great fun. And I get to do amazing podcast, not interviews, but, you know, chats like this. So it's cool.
Thank you for the delineation. And yes, ma'am, absolutely. How amazing. You just said, I'm going to do this and did it. You know, you're intuitively guided and did it. Like how is your family and friends and all that? How have they changed or received this? Or has it been a struggle or a challenge?
You know, I don't know. My parents have always kind of let me do my own thing a little bit. Like they've been a little more hands-off parenting style my whole life. So I think my parents were a little bit like, oh, you're not doing that insurance job anymore. You were doing so well, blah, blah, blah. But I just kind of did my own thing. It was really like a personal dark night of the soul journey. And I wasn't, you know, such weird times during that year, 2020. So I don't know. It was a very personal experience. And it was just kind of me sharing myself and putting myself out there on social media and then sharing my knowledge and creating ways to teach this knowledge. But yeah, I think they were, I don't think they even know what I'm doing. Like they still don't really know or get it. But they've accepted it, I think, at this point.
Okay, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't still get the phone calls, you know, hey, I've got a friend and he's got a job opening. You don't get those?
No, okay. I don't. Nice. Like, I don't know what, you know, the crazy aunt Adriana's doing, but the
Isn't
travel.
It great to be the crazy aunt and uncle. You know, we're the crazy aunt and uncle in our house too. We love it. We didn't do the kids thing. We're just the cool, fun aunt and uncle. It's also our nephew's actually in from Puerto Rico for a little bit. So he's hanging out. He spent a few summers up here with us. Now he's 19. He started coming when he was like 13, I think. And now he's back. It's great. We love being the fun aunt and uncle. It's great.
Oh my God. I'm sure he's having the time of his life. And I wonder what line he has in Texas with you guys. That's interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. And Mary's all over his astrology. Of course, she's like, oh my God, he's an Aquarius rising. And then she's an Aquarius. And then my wife's an Aquarius. I have a lot of Aquariuses in my life as well. I'm sure you do too. Is that a Leo thing or is that a Virgo thing?
I think it's just individual to each person, but okay. I mean, I'm in the age of Aquarius now. So like, I feel like Aquarians are like, I don't know. They're becoming more accepted because Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, which is the planet of change, of technology. And Aquarius people are like, you know, they're the people with the purple hair. They're the fucking like weirdos that like don't really fit in, you know, and they're just different. And yeah. And so it's like, I feel like they're finally becoming more understood now that we're in their age and everything. But
yeah, it's like the reality finally was like lowering its standards of freak shows and said, Aquarius, what you got? You know? That is not a shot, Aquarians. That's a fucking compliment. The realm finally recognizes your glory is what is meant by that. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about all this Agent Aquarius thing that you know, because it's moved direct now. So we're moving into this November 19th. So a little bit here, it should be full blown Aquarius for the next 20 years. So what do you see? How do you feel? Have you felt differently?
Well, yeah, I think like 2020 was like preparing us for like this huge shift in humanity. I think it's time to let our freak flags fly and just the spirituality, I think, of in the world, spirituality is kind of just, I feel like it's just like this door has been open and it's just like, oh, shining and like rainbow sparkly colors. Like religion is so outdated now. No offense to anyone who's religious. And what I mean when I say that is like the archaic kind of ways of seeing the world and how things should be. So yeah, I think that we're just in the beginning. you know, and with technology and AI and robots and everything, like, it's just going to blow up, dude. Like, life is everything's shifting for sure. Like, it was, you know, Capricorn comes before Aquarius. So it was all about like tradition and rules and stability. And now it's all about like, it's all about just endless possibilities.
Just hippies and growing your pubes out. It's just live your life, you know, to its fullest. Just go out there, dance on hills with scarves, you know, that's like a music
video. And your robot friend next to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you, how do you see that integration taking place? Because I'm like you, I'm no Luddite, but I'm massive into not only architecture, but organic architecture. Like in Tulum, they have that Azulk or whatever it's called, AUZ. LK, something like that. Anyway, it's all this organic architecture that it's blended in. You've got trees coming out of your damn room and shit. I love that. But also I love a Wi-Fi signal and I like being able to connect in this way and being able to do my own shit, like produce music and things to the highest standard quality of technology, but not to be ran and governed by it, you know, or fear it. So do you see, how do you see this taking place? Is there this 15-minute city idea? Do you see this being literally a separation, sort of more of a Dolores Cannon idea to where there are going to be people who fuck off to 15-minute cities and have robots that make sure they stay in line. And then there are going to be people out in the country, perhaps, in smaller communities that use technology to help them, like in that yogurt commercial.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's got like a bunch of dope technology. They're using like rain machines to just rain on just their garden and they're living awesome. There's honey and cool shit happening, but it's like super technology, but it's all outside. It's really cool.
That sounds sick. Like yogurt flowing. Like puddles of yogurt. I think that, I mean, I think it's in a way it's like preserving nature because we know that we're fucking it over. So, yeah, I think that, I mean, it, to me, it just sounds like a blend of nature and technology. And I think that is the way of the future. I think humans, you know, we do, most of us like appreciate trees and nature and Mother Earth. And so, yeah, I mean, I see it like, I would hope that we would integrate it more with technology, you know, and honor it and respect it and give it like the time it, you know, deserves and the respect it needs. Like I would hope that we could incorporate more like organic architecture and nature with technology for sure. Yeah.
There's a guy plugging little sound nodes into mushrooms and playing music with it. You know, I mean, somebody needs to get that mushroom royalties, you know, and integrate this into Spotify or something like that. Make sure they get paid.
Isn't it on Spotify?
I know this fairy circle this guy's got going. He just plugs little plugs into it. And this other dude was playing watermelons. It was wild what they're doing. So this integration of nature and technology is going a little extreme. And I love it. You know, the pendulum has swung pretty far. But it seems that we are sort of these biodynamic sort of marvels of ingenuity, you know, when you think of just the human body in general, plus on a really freaky, I guess, philosophical way, you can't prove that you're not AI becoming self-aware, which is trippy as shit.
That is trippy as shit. Because I think that's part of the Aquarian age is becoming self-aware.
Ooh. But what if our self-aware is to realize that we're machines and actually we're more of a consciousness that's generating itself in a simulated environment to be, to experience physicality rather than physicality existing at all? Would that scare you?
To experience physicality rather than, it doesn't really scare me because we're consciousness, you know, we've just chosen this meat suit and we get to have these cool ass experiences on this 3D plane, you know?
Yeah. You don't play a video game going, it's all bullshit anyway. You know, you're in for the experience, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's so sort of how I feel about it.
I mean, and I feel like that's kind of right. Some people believe that like there was like a veil when you are born that kind of washes over you and you forget everything from before, you know? So it's kind of like maybe that's how it's designed and how we're meant to be experiencing this reality.
It makes more sense. It makes more sense to me ideologically. Like when I got over the anger of being all awesome and everything, but not being able to like make shit happen or feel the way I wanted to feel or things like this, like I just got over that shit. I started to appreciate the inverse of that. What that really means is that you are the all of everything and you are choosing to focus like a motherfucker on where you are right now to the extent of, and I bitched about this too, but now again, I feel it's a superpower. UFOs don't talk to me. Bigfoot doesn't want to hang out with me. Like these special extra sensory things I'm not privy to unless I do psychedelics. And even then there's not really entities in there hanging out. So it's not like my felt aloneness I've alchemized into being left aloneness and I feel great about it. because now it feels like I'm not interrupted by nonsense just to have my experience here. And it took me a really long time to feel that way, but I feel that way now, honestly. I really do. I appreciate it, you know?
And who knows, like, where was that coming from before when you wanted to experience? Like, where was that coming from, you know? Whereas now you're kind of... Yeah, I'm curious.
I can tell you, it was this little piece of me that felt left out, like that felt like that there were so many amazing things here that why couldn't I just choose something? Also, this was colored by The Secret, which I got into, you know, 20 whatever years ago, and Rhonda Byrne wrote it. And that was coupled with this understanding or this idea that planted that you could just manifest whatever you want, choose and align. And then I'd start bitching about, well, why do I have to align? Why can't I just fuck it? If I'm God and I'm everything, why can't I just... And it was through that, I suppose, that, you know, you get plum tuckered out like a little kid having a tantrum. I just got tired. And then I didn't want to kill myself either. So I just kind of relaxed, you know, and it's through that process that it's really opened my eyes to, dude, think about it. Think about how badass you are that you focus here on just what you're doing. Like, that's amazing. And then I thought back to my most recent mushroom trip, which even before that, it was like 3 years. I've kind of put psychedelics down, and that's fine. It's cool. But the last one that I had, I married Chris Matthew and his partner Jennifer in Colorado back in June. And we took mushrooms, and I found myself, of course, off on this mountain. We hiked this incredible and camped out in this amazing part of Colorado, like no cell service, all that. So I'm sitting in the middle of a small grove of trees that was like young trees, and you could see where the forest fire had come through, but everything was regrown. So the grass was real lush, but these young sets of trees were growing up, and they were like 8 feet tall. And I'm sitting in the middle of this grove, just tripping balls. And I asked the trees how they felt about being stuck in one place all the time. And I know this sounds silly, but they were like, actually, we like it because we get to see change from one point of view constantly and see how it changes and how things interact and what comes and goes. But they said, we think it's cool that you get to just walk around anywhere you want. You could sit in one place if you wanted to, but you don't have to. And that was my last mushroom trip. It was pretty interesting. But I think about this, you know, like I could be anything. You could be anything, but you're choosing to be a tree and stay there and stay put. And it's just interesting when you sort of take it philosophically like that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you for bringing that into the conversation. Just that like perspective and higher awareness of just all living things, you know. It is cool. Yeah. We are lucky, you know, we're not trees. We're here to learn and discover and grow and have pain and suffer, but have joy and love. And I mean, that's part of the human experience, you know, is all of that.
It's the ride, right? And it's that Bill Hicks is the ride. It opens the show every time, a choice between love and fear. And the fear part of it, really, I experienced the shit out of the fear, you know, because this is more of an expansion in my mind rather than ascension. You're not just constantly going up and it's fucking whatever. You're expanding into all depths, and you got to know where your edges are. But to know where your edges are, you got to go find them, you know, and I'm out there surfing on edges. So it's offered an interesting array of perspectives. And I feel so much more mature coming to this, honestly, because I used to, I would bitch, and I just knew that it wasn't right. Like the feeling I had about the injustices I felt existed, they just didn't feel right that I... didn't see a mature way to navigate those. And now I see more clearly, or feel that I see more clearly why, which has colored the experience so much differently. I mean, just a switch. It was really interesting.
That was amazing. And did this switch happen after that trip?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of that trip, a little bit of after. And then, because still in that trip, I would consider myself just last June still being in my dark night of the soul. I don't think this really ended until about a month ago, honestly. I feel like I finally got a lot of confidence to say, I'm out of it. You know, I'm through the darkness. Like I can at least see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a pitch black tunnel. And I feel good about that. I really do.
I'm so glad.
That's great. I stripped a lot away in there. Came out much lighter. Feels great though. But I want to ask you some more questions. This is just cool. Sure. And we are going to get into our afterthought here in just a little bit, where we do have a special guest joining us. It's going to be so cool. I'm very excited about this. Wanted to ask about any interesting things that you found with the astrocartography game there that just stood out to you as like, holy shit, that you would like to share with the Saturn line stuff. I mean, you know, what happens when you live on Earth line? Is there an Earth line, you know?
There's not.
It's just Earth?
Yeah, just Earth. All of Earth school. Every nick and cranny and inch of Earth is Earth school. So you're saying what like exciting kind of thing have I discovered?
Yeah. Like you were talking about your Saturn line the other day on your YouTube, and I was just curious about any fun facts about sort of some of the lines of what people could expect that you discovered that you just that blew your mind. Yeah.
So, there's basically, you can have I'll kind of go through the line. So there's, Sun, Venus, Mars, Chiron line, Pluto, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. I'm not going in order. I don't know why. And then your nodal lines, your moon node lines. So, and am I missing one? Don't believe I am. So, did I say all of them? Jupiter. There it is. Okay. And all of these lines can have four different angles. You can have the AC, IC, DC, or MC angle. You'll see it if you pull up your map on astro.com or AstroSeek, or if you have a software program like SolarFire, you'll pull up your map and then you'll see the glyphs, like the little symbol of each planet. And then you'll see two letters above or underneath the little symbol of each planet. So each line will have an angle. And so that angle, the ascendant, the MMCelli, the descendant, or the midheaven, all have to do with different areas of life. So that's what I want to share with a cool thing about astrocartography is like, you just have to learn these things. So learn what each planet represents and then learn what each angle means. So for example, the IC, when you see the two letters IC on a line, that's your MMCelli. So in your birth chart, in your astrology chart, in the circle, not the map of the world, that's your astrocartography map. But in your birth chart, the lowest point is your IC, and that represents your childhood. So like, for example, I was born on a Pluto IC line. I still don't know. I don't know if you ever figured out what angle you're on. Is it MC or AC or DC or IC? I don't know.
I like AC/DC. Yeah, that's a cool thing. I honestly don't know, but we can look it up in the afterthought. We'll take a look.
Yeah, we'll
pull
it up. Because cool. I'm curious what angle you're on.
Now so, I am too.
Yeah, because it does affect your experience of the line. I mean, it just represents a different part of life that you're going to have more like experience in, depending on, you know, the line you're on. So that's a really cool thing to learn. Yeah, like for example, I was on my Saturn MC, which MC is the highest point in your astrology chart. That's called your midheaven, and it rules your career or how you're viewed like out in society. And Saturn is all about, God, the first word I want to say is hardship, because it fucking sucks.
Well, it eats its own kids, right? Yeah, Kronos.
Yeah, exactly. Good job. No, literally. I teach this in my course, what every like God is associated with the planets. Kronos. So basically Saturn's all about kind of just like obstacles and but learning things the tough way, right? It's like the tough taskmaster planet, tough teacher. It's like the teacher that swats at your fingers with a ruler when you F up. And so basically it's tough, but your MC angle will kind of bring things up for you in terms of your career or work. And so on that line, that's where I started my life insurance job, where I was making the most money I've ever made, but I had to work so hard at it. And that's what the Saturn MC line literally is about. It's about working your ass off, but you will be successful, but it's just going to be like harder than on a more beneficial line, let's say. Again, you do have to look at your birth chart and see how Saturn's aspected in your birth chart. Like for some people, Saturn MC might be really great, and some people might not have as much success, you know? So, and it depends on the transits too. But just to talk about the basics of what the line represents, that's what it usually represents, is working hard and you will be successful. So it's just cool, just, you know, learning your relationship to the planets and in your birth chart, how they're aspected, and just experiencing. Like, I think the coolest thing about astrocartography, you guys, is traveling and just seeing what line you're going to be on, and then just being aware of what's happening and how you're feeling. Like, that's why so many people, dude, who travel are usually like, oh my God, I went to, you know, Ireland and I just felt like so connected. I felt so like myself, yeah. You know, and then you look at where they came from and they're like on a really fucking tough line where they don't have a lot of fun at home because it's all about tough lessons. And like, you feel like almost suppressed on some of these lines, right? But like some great lines, like your Venus line is like on a Venus ascendant, right? We all know our ascendant in astrology. Well, not everyone, but a lot of us do, or your rising sign is how you come off to people. So when you're on a Venus ascendant line, you appear more attractive, you appear more beautiful, you know, and you're like, people just admire you because you just look more beautiful. You know what I mean? Or handsome. Wow. So it's really cool how it works. And so, of course, everybody's number one question, you guys, is where can I find love? You know, like, where can I go in the world to like meet my person? And the Venus descendant line is usually the love line. Okay. Because DC rules relationships and other people. And Venus is the planet of love. I mean, it's deeper than that, right? It's aesthetics, it's beauty, it's the arts, but it's also love. So when you go to Venus descendant line, you can meet a lot of people that are just that like resonate with you, right? And it's just this beautiful connection. Like I remember I went to Tokyo and I think I had my Venus descendant line there. And I swear to you, this is like one of the coolest experiences. I was like, oh my God. At the time I was living in Taiwan and like, I don't know, I was single. I was like 26 or something. And like, I thought, you know, I was really attracted to Asian guys. I was like, oh, they're so cute, whatever. And but it was so hard for me to like find a date or like go on a date or meet people. But then I got to my Venus descendant line and I was in Japan for like 5 freaking days. And I kid you not, the first day, this is so weird. The first day I'm like walking through a market and I see this like super cute guy just selling like salmon or something, right? It was like this fish market. And we just made eye contact and like, you know, I was like, whoa, like he's cute. And I guess he thought I was cute. And so then I think we exchanged numbers. And then I kid you not, like I met this other cute guy and I think we went on a date or something. And this was all within 5 fucking days. And then the first dude who I thought was cute, we didn't exchange anything, but I saw him. We saw each other like a day later, 2 days later. And during the cherry blossom season in this huge park where everybody's sitting down and having picnics underneath the falling petals. It was so beautiful. And we ran into each other and we saw each other and it was just the weirdest shit because it's like, you know, there's so many fucking people who live in Tokyo. Like how the hell did this happen? It was like on this other side of the city and we saw each other again. And it was just like the weirdest thing. And we were like, hi, you know, and so the Venus line is magical, you guys. And the descendant angle is all about relationships. So it's a good place to go, you know, if you're looking for love. Yeah.
That's amazing. So does your Venus descending go through anywhere other than Japan or is that just kind of where you're going to find love, do you feel?
That's such a good question. Yeah, it does. So I think when we do the next segment, when I can share my screen, you guys will see. So like, yeah, the lines like literally cross like part of the world. So it'll go through Japan, but it might be hitting like Singapore or whatever. It just depends on the angle of it. Yeah. So yeah, awesome. It can go through multiple countries. So there's not just like one place you have to go to. And also some people might have a Venus descendant line that literally just goes through the Pacific Ocean and they can't really get to it ever. You know, that's just how your map is in this lifetime, you know, and that's okay. It's not to say you won't ever meet someone and fall in love. You know, it just means that specific energy is, you know, kind of hard to reach.
What I like to think is that if it does go through like the Atlantic or something, that in 5 years or something like that, we're going to get so resonantly dope that Atlantis is just going to spring the fuck up out. And all these people with their middle of the water lines are going to be like, yes, my love has come, you know, but it's Atlantean. So it's like badass. That is so interesting. You know, and Mary and I had great lines going through Australia as well. And when we were there, we felt at home, like minus a fucking oppressive bullshit government. We felt so at home. Like it was so the people, the land, everything about it. And then come to find out we have a beautiful line that goes through there. And then where we had the event, just for some fucking reason, North Georgia, we have a Jupiter line. Both of us, actually, Mary and I both have Jupiter lines that go right through that area. Then that's kind of where we're called the East Tennessee area to move that range or whatever. Okay. So it's really interesting. Yeah. And when we were out there, I was just in love. We went one river in Tennessee and I didn't want to leave. It was just everything. So that's where we're called. And, you know, I think my Pluto line is squeezing me out like a pimple. It's sort of like, all right, dude, you know, you've learned the shit you need to learn. You're good. Get out there. Sort of smack you on the ass because it is. It's telling us to leave. We're very motivated is what I will say, to move on. It's really interesting. But and all of this came about, this understanding, after we'd been feeling this way and went to those places, then we looked at an astrocartography map. And it just happened to be there like that.
And so, yes. Yeah, you'll feel it. You'll know, you know. And then you look and you're like, oh, my God, it makes sense. It's amazing. Anytime I do one of these readings, I kid you not, people are like, oh my God, that's why I was feeling this way. That makes so much sense. It just helps you understand your experience as a human, wherever you are.
Well, and you nailed it with this choice between colleges thing. I think that's one of the most valuable things. Or one of the spouses is getting a job transfer and you kind of get to pick. You know, guys, reach out to her and find out just a little bit more about your realm. All the ways to find her, of course, located down below. Get a reading from her. She can include and incorporate all of these amazing things. Astro cartography, human design, and astrology. It's all part of it. It's all important. So it's a complete deal. So highly recommend. You're amazing, Adriana. I really appreciate this. This is just so cool. And we'll absolutely get a insider hangout set up. We do this astrology and you thing, and this is absolutely in this. So we pull up people's charts if you'd like, and you can kind of live tell people. Yeah, it's fun. It's so much fun. And guys, if you'd like to take advantage of that, check the link down in the show description, not only to join us for our afterthought here, but also for the replays of those hangouts. So you can go see that. All of it's organized in a playlist. You do have a Virgo running this shit, so shit's on point. And I wanted to give you the opportunity before we let you run here and get into our afterthought, just to close us out here with what gets you out of bed every morning. Why do you keep moving forward? Why do you keep getting up?
I think it's the richness of the human experience, you know, through the ups and downs. I mean, I play violin. I recently had a little concert at a spiritual center here with this amazing Jewish pianist. And we played three pieces from Fiddler on the Roof. And I had never seen that movie. My parents loved that movie. And my dad would make jokes because I play violin. So he'd be like, oh, the Fiddler on the Roof. Like, I don't know. It was just a thing. And so I finally watched it, and I watched the videos of the pieces that I was playing. And it touched something like really deep within me. And I was just crying and like kind of having this artistic, like couple day, kind of a depression, honestly, just feeling these feelings of the music and like me playing the violin, because it's such a heart instrument. And, you know, it was just this really creative, deep process where I was shedding some like deep pain, I think. So this kind of Fiddler in the Roof music came into my life, and then, you know, this full moon happened in Aries. So it's just been so emotional for me and such a big release. But with that sadness, like there was just so much richness, and it helped me like really transform that pain and release it. So I think that's what gets me out of bed, is not pain, but it's just like knowing that the hard times, they're just so rewarding and so enriching, and so are the great times, you know? And learning to just accept those and knowing that there's always going to be a light, right, on the other side and at the end of the tunnel and in the dark. So yeah, that's kind of what gets me out, is becoming so strong in myself to be able to handle those really tough moments, and knowing that there's always going to be joy just you know, inches away, or a couple days away, or a day away, whatever it is. So yeah, that's what it is the richness of the human experience.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.